Hi, everyone. Welcome to the How Did You Learn to Do That podcast. My name is Anjaza Muhammad. I'm the host and founder of How Did You Learn to Do That, where we share stories of people that are committing to themselves, committing to their why, and really taking that step to that life they've always wanted and dreamed of. And they're doing that by doing small things every single day to get there. So I share a lot about what you can do. I share about your fulfillment, your career, and all the things that come with life that you would like to improve on. So follow me over at How Did You Learn to Do That on Instagram, on Facebook, and we'll be on Clubhouse soon. And we're also have a private Facebook group for all my listeners to hop into, to ask questions, to connect, to share their wins, to celebrate each other. So make sure you do that. I also would love if you could review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us reach more people and grow. So I would sincerely appreciate that. We're also on YouTube. So hit that subscribe button and that bell to be notified every time that we release an episode. So let's get into it. Wow, it's my 1 year episode. I can't believe it's been a year of having this podcast. This is episode 46. So I didn't get to exactly 52 episodes, which is okay because there's bumps along the road, but I also took some much needed time off, which I'll be talking about too. But I wanted to actually start off by answering some of the questions I've received over the last year around how to start a podcast, how to grow a podcast, how to structure a podcast, how, you know, everything to do with the podcast. And then questions around my career coaching and my fulfillment that I offer people and the students that I do and the course I just created, The Successful Candidate, which you can learn more about at howdidyoulearntodothat.com/TSC to learn more. So I'm going to dive into all those topics with you today. And if you have more questions, feel free to email me and let me know what your questions are. And I'm happy to go over them with you and to help answer them. So I'm super excited to do this episode. I'm going to talk initially about, like I said, how I started the podcast, my intent behind it, the steps I took to get started. And then I'm going to dive a little bit deeper and I'm going to be talking about what this last year has meant for me. What it means for me moving forward, and how having this podcast has actually become one of the most important things that has gotten me through the pandemic and gotten me through all the challenges that the pandemic comes and brings with it. And I'm going to talk about what's next for me, which is very exciting. So let's get started. Okay, so first off, I want to talk about the podcast. So how do you actually start a podcast? How do you start a podcast? What do you do? Where do you start? So let me walk you through my journey. So when I decided I wanted a podcast, it was really because I had done the work of really understanding what my purpose in life was. And what I realized in my purpose in life is that I really loved sharing with people stories of other people doing stuff that were inspirational, that were incredible, that really I felt could be replicated if you followed the steps of believing in yourself, really having a strategy and a game plan, and just understanding the steps that you need to take and breaking it down into bite-sized chunks that you could chip away at slowly over a long period of time. And the biggest one is not to expect that you're going to reach that goal that you want overnight. And so it does take time to reach your goals. So what I did was, so once I realized I wanted a podcast, it was a bit of a challenge. So I couldn't actually start my podcast because I was on maternity leave. And because I was on maternity leave, you're not actually allowed to work because the government's paying a portion of your wage in Canada here. You're not really allowed to make other income. I mean, you can, but then you would have to inform them and come off of EI. And if you're even working towards your business but not making revenue, you would still have to inform them and they would probably have to stop being on EI. So what actually happened was it was about, you know, January when I decided, okay, I want a podcast, January 2020. And I started doing all the steps and I kind of had it planned so that I could start the podcast in June, which is when I was set to go back to work. And I was starting to think about, well, this is obviously before the pandemic and the restrictions, you know, and I was starting to think of, you know, do I need studio space? Do I need to create a little cute corner in my house where I'll have guests actually come? Like, where am I going to get these guests and how will I set it up so that they can come to my house when I have my daughter here, my husband here? All of those kind of logistical things that I was just unsure how that was going to work out. But I said I had 6 months to figure it out, and that was plenty. So once March hit and the pandemic hit, then I was like, oh no, like everything's in lockdown. So I can't do studio space. I can't really have people in my house. Like, and I can't do any of that. So I started looking at what does it mean to start a podcast? And actually what was incredible was because I work in public health, I had contacted, and my husband actually no longer had a job because of COVID. He was let go. He was laid off, one of the employees that were laid off at his company. And I thought, you know what, why don't I just go back to work? Because it was all work from home, which I loved. It didn't mean that I had to make the big transition of going into the office, which I thought would be much tougher. And it's work from home. It's still work from home, and it will be for the foreseeable future. So I seriously love it. And so, yeah, so then I was like, okay, what can I do to get back to work? So I contacted my boss and I said, I want to come to work. And we picked a date and I said, perfect. Because that meant I could actually start my podcast a lot sooner. So I didn't have a lot of planning. I really didn't take any courses to learn how to start a podcast. I really had not contacted anyone. And in hindsight, I wish I did. I wish I had taken some time to just plan things out, because I think I would have learned how to launch a podcast, how to actually structure the podcast, how to actually do my intro, how to do my outro, how to my podcast. Everything was kind of like this, like in the cloud, my head was kind of in the clouds. And I was like, I'm just going to get the podcast out and I'll figure everything out along the way, which is actually a perfect way to do it if that's the type of person you are. Worked really well with me. It's just now I have to do some backtracking and some of that work, which it's okay because I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about what I like in my podcast, what I don't like in my podcast. I've learned how to be selective with my guests because not every guest is for every person or every podcast. It's just, you always have to do a bit of screening to make sure it's a fit for you, for the message that you want to share in your podcast and all of that. And I'll get into that a little bit later when it comes to the structure of how I do my podcast. But yeah, so I kind of came into it super naive. I just knew I needed a microphone. I needed a logo is what I thought. And my logo was my cover art for my podcast for the longest time until I made a cover art myself. In terms of the structure, I thought, you know what, I have a couple questions, but I want it to just be a conversation. I don't want to keep asking questions and answer questions and answers. So I knew that I wanted it to be free flowing. So I wrote out a couple guiding questions. And I recorded my first two episodes. The first one was about why I started the podcast, my purpose in life. And the second one was about self-reflection. And then I had my very first guest, Jackie from Aloha Kai Apparel, who I'm still so grateful for every day, because she really, if I had any other guest, I don't think I would have been as confident in reaching out to other people. She, you know, really pumped me up. She really kind of like put the air in the balloon that I had about really starting this. And she really motivated me to just keep going, and just her energy and her aura. And I still talk to her and we still connect. And I follow along her content religiously because she's so, what she shares is so real and so authentic. And so if you're looking for someone authentic and real, I would follow along with Jackie. And so, yeah, I had my very first guest, Jackie. And at the time I was in this state where I thought followers meant popularity or notoriety or success. But let me tell you something, your followers do not mean you're more successful. Somebody can have 40,000 followers, but when it comes to actually selling their courses or the content or engagement or being fulfilled or just being happy, it could mean that they don't have much of that, but somebody that has 500 followers might. So don't always look at the followers and think that that one person's more successful than another person. It's just sometimes Instagram or social media is not the place where you get your most return on your investment. It's not where your clients are sitting. So you hang out on different platforms, you know, and I've learned that over the year. And so I emailed Jackie this like long paragraph, really explaining why I wanted her on my podcast, what my podcast was about, what we were going to do, and all of that. And she just emailed me back and was like, yep, I'm all over it. Let's do it. So I had my first episode. I was super nervous. I remember the night before I was sitting, practicing my questions, practicing my responses, super, super duper nervous. And I didn't do things on Zoom. I'm on Zoom right now. I record all my podcasts on Zoom. But what I was doing was actually on my DSLR. I got it set up and I would do it that way. And then I paid for a subscription of a Zoom-like platform or product that actually makes the audio sound great on both ends. But what that meant for me in my first couple of episodes is that I would have to edit the video. Then I would have, which came off my camera, which had no microphone. It was not great. Then I had to edit the audio off of that platform. And then I had to kind of like do the mirror work where I put the audio and the video together. And then I would watch the whole thing. So I would basically listen to my episode three times, listen to the audio, listen to the video. And then what I would do is I would listen to the whole episode and I would watch intensely to make sure the movements of the mouth matched the words. So it wasn't like off. That was a lot of work. And then I decided, you know what, why do I need perfect video quality? I'm just going to do it over Zoom. I have a MacBook Pro. It's not good quality on the webcam that's attached to the laptop. But I was like, you know what? I need to save myself time because this is not sustainable. So going back to how I actually started. So I bought a microphone. I bought the Blue Yeti with the boom arm. I'll see if I can show it to you actually. And so if you're listening, you can check this out on YouTube, but you'll see there's like a boom arm. I got this little shock mount that came with it. This is the mic. This is the mic. This little foamy thingy I bought off Amazon. Let me just adjust this again. Yeah, so I knew that this was the microphone I wanted, did some research on that. I did some research on podcast hosting. So there's actually a ton more hosting sites coming up because they're super popular. What I used initially, actually, for the first 20 or so episodes was a platform called Anchor because it was free. It's operated by Spotify. They've actually got a ton of free tools on that website and that platform. And this actually is amazing. My video audio for the beginning is a part of that. So I load it up on there and I get the audio that way. But then this is where when I was talking about doing your research, this is where it comes in handy, is that then I took a webinar with Matt Callahan, who really kind of beat the algorithm of the podcast and became a ranking number one or number two ranking podcast host. And what he said is that, you know what, when something is free, you have to question it because that means they own your content. They own what you are putting up on that website and they can share it as they wish. So what you need to do is you need to question, you know, is this a hobby just for fun? You're not really looking to monetize your art. If so, then Anchor is perfectly fine for you if it's just for fun. But if it is something that you want to monetize, potentially you could sell your podcast in the future to a podcasting agency and be a part of that. You know, if it's your art, you're doing affiliate marketing with it. You're promoting stuff and it is your content. So if you want to be the owner of your content, then you should go on a paid platform. So then I migrated my podcast over to Buzzsprout and I pay for that monthly. And Buzzsprout is great too. I actually really like some features of it. I can load just my video over to Buzzsprout. I don't have to actually do the audio. I don't have to only load the audio. So that's great because I only have to edit once and that's the video. I could do my pre-roll, my end roll, which is like your intro and your outro. I can do that separately so I don't have to record that every single time. And then there's a whole bunch of kind of stats and things you could do. There's links to sponsorships you can go on. There's different websites. There's websites you can connect with other podcasters and guests, which I'll get into in a bit. But yeah, so that's how I started really is I got myself set up on Anchor. I sorted out a name for myself. I got my microphone. I kind of sorted out a template I wanted. And it was a bi-weekly. Every other week, I would share an episode about a content I was passionate about. And then I would have a guest every week that I was not actually on myself. So It worked out really nice. And I did that for a while. I didn't monetize it because I was kind of unknown. I did focus a lot of my energy on Instagram to promote my content. And I was just going to have a podcast and I was actually just going to do affiliate marketing. I did a course, which I affiliate for as well, called Affiliate Marketing Mastery with Stephen James. Honestly, if you could do one course and invest in one course, it would be that one. If you want to learn more about it, feel free to email me and I can share more about my experience with the course. But essentially what he does is he walks you through from the beginning to the end. And even if you don't want to do affiliate marketing, but you just want to get into the digital space, you should take the course because he walks you through how to set up your website, how to set up a landing page, how to set up an opt-in, how to do a freebie, how to do your content so that it's sellable and promotable and shareable so you can get out to more people. How do you do SEO? How do you get on YouTube? He talks about YouTube. He talks about Twitter. He talks about Facebook. He talks about Instagram. He talks a lot about how to get, if you are interested in affiliate marketing, how to source affiliate marketing products that you can sell and how you can actually set them up with marketable links for you so that it's easy for people to know and remember. He talks a bit about podcasts too, so how to get started. He really does a full picture of how to start an online business. And that includes all of the social media platforms, all the video sharing platforms, all websites, things like that. So I actually followed his method and that's how I developed my own website, how I figured out I wanted to do a podcast, how I got onto Instagram, how I got a Facebook page, how I did all that kind of stuff. And really, really followed his step-by-step process. At the time I took it, it was a bit outdated in terms of how the algorithm works on Instagram now, but I think he's updated it. So I think it's up to date now. So, which is great. And you should follow him on Instagram and YouTube because he's incredible. He has over 1 million followers or subscribers on YouTube and he has almost 100,000 on Instagram. And he's really, really good. He's self-made. So I followed his whole course. I did it, religiously when my daughter would nap. I would sit for 3 hours and I would do the course. And I just followed the steps and it was awesome because it meant that I could actually build something on my own. And it was, he does so the way he lays it out is so easy. He does like one thing at a time. So it's very easy for you to, by the end of it, just kind of follow the steps and focus on one lesson at a time. Before you know it, you have a website. It's incredible. And you really get to learn the ins and outs of the website, which is even better because you don't have to pay someone constantly to fix things for your on your website for you. So then that happened. I got everything going, got the podcast going, got my first couple of episodes. I got my first couple of guests on the podcast. So I was super pumped, super excited. And that was April 6th when I launched the podcast. And so I really wanted a weekly podcast. I heard everything about consistency. That at minimum, you should be releasing an episode every week. And then the question was, do you want it to be episodic, which means like one episode every week for the year or forever? Or do you want it to be a seasonal sort of podcast where you release episodes for like 3 months or 6 months of a year and then take 6 months off to do the work? And I said, you know what? No, I want it every week. I want it episodic. And that's what I wanted because I was just going to do the podcast and affiliate marketing and it was going to be my side gig. It was going to be my passion project. And once it took off, once I started making enough money, I could maybe then transition into it full time. Well, things changed and my husband laughs at me because he says, you'll never just be able to sell other people's products, which, I believe in a lot of the stuff that I affiliate. Actually, I believe in all of the stuff I affiliate. Or I wouldn't affiliate for it if I haven't tried it myself or if I don't believe in it because I believe 100% in authenticity and in being natural and organic, not trying to dupe people, not trying to fake it for, a couple bucks. Like I don't believe in that because I think that that's karma that's going to come back at you and bite you in the butt. And so I'm as honest and just truthful. So anything that you see on my website under the affiliate tab that is listed is stuff that I've been a part of, I've actually vouched for, I've taken, or I believe in. And the people that are selling it, I actually know them. in order to actually do it. So I know I talked about the Miracare fertility wands. I've been using it. It's incredible, incredible, incredible. So I'm affiliated for that. Jamie from Contract Market, I know her. I believe in her. She's been on the podcast. I believe in everything that she shares. Ashley Ray from Mala Collective. You know, I love Mala Collective. So the fact that she's now doing coaching is incredible. So that's on there. And all of Stephen James courses, Morning Ritual Mastery, which I talk about a lot. Affiliate Marketing Mastery too. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff. There's books that I've actually read. There's products that I've actually purchased off Amazon that I would think that you would love too. So everything that I promote, I love. But as I started getting going, I realized, you know what? I've always coached people as they were transitioning from being a student to getting into the career, or even people just looking to get a career and how they can actually start that, how they can make a transition. My sister this summer wanted to kind of transition out of her job that she had been with, the company she had been with for almost 10 years. And she wanted to expand and learn something new. So I helped her through that. My cousin whose wife came here from out of country. And so she's trying to figure out like what steps she needs to take because her education may not be recognized in this country. And I walked her through some steps you can take. My other cousin has reached out to me, you know, wanting to make a career change. How can you help me? I've done that. I've had a ton of students that I've mentored and coached throughout my life. At my day job, I have a lot of students that come in for practicums that I coach. And I do it just because I love it. It's so natural. And so I thought, you know what? Why don't I actually make this a course? Why don't I actually, you know, make this into something? So I decided that, yeah, I'm going to actually create a course and I'm going to actually be an official. I'm going to be an official career coach. And I'm going to focus on fulfillment because there's a lot of career coaches out there that can help you figure out, you know, how to talk at work, how to do this at work, how to do that at work. But the biggest thing, honestly, is that you can get a job. You can jump from job to job, or career to career. You can learn ways to talk to your boss. And you can do all the kind of steps that you need to do in your career. But if your mindset is not in the game, if you haven't taken time to really connect with yourself, to understand your feelings, your thoughts, your processes, then that's more important than anything else. And why that's so important is because essentially, you need to really feel fulfilled in your work because you can get a new job and you can kind of go through the motions and then get to the same place of not feeling fulfilled, not feeling pumped, not feeling excited. So how do you actually learn to build fulfillment in your life and shift your mindset and then take that around into your career? And that way you can actually feel happier and feel more excited and really know what you need to do when things arise. So then I said it, I wanted to do that. So I worked with Justina from eCourse Creative to set up my course. She really helped me with my sales page and helped me really understand how to outline my course. And then I did it and it was a lot of work. By the end of December, which is when I started building the course in October, I did my first soft launch just to kind of build a promotional strategy in November and by the end of December. And in between that time, also my laptop crashed. So by the end of December, I was toast. I was exhausted. You know why? Because I didn't have a strategy. I didn't have a plan. I just was like, I'm going to do this. You see what people are doing on Instagram. You see what people are doing on other social media platforms. You're like, oh yeah, okay, I'm just going to do it that way. But here's the issue, that there is so much behind the scenes that goes on that is not shown on Instagram, that is not shared, that you need to know. And it is a lot of work in the background. It's not so easy. And the thing is, you can set yourself up for success or you can set yourself up for burnout. And I was definitely on my way to being burnt out. And what I realized was that I needed to take a step back. I needed to actually learn the systems. I needed to invest in myself. I needed someone to guide me and coach me into the digital marketing space. And so that was most important. And what happened was actually that, and so what happened in that time is I started following Alyssa Coleman, who I recommend to everybody because she is like right up my alley. She's totally the type of coach I want and need. And I really can't wait to take her course, my most profitable quarter yet. But in the meantime, I've been downloading all of her freebies. I've been following her. She has a lot of things where you can kind of steal her calendar, steal her checklist, steal her launch plan for only like 20 or 30 bucks. It's super affordable. So I did that. I'm in the middle of a launch right now. And this week I do have my masterclass coming up on April 8th. So if you haven't signed up to be a part of the masterclass, make sure you do that. The link is in my Instagram bio. Also, if you're listening to this after April 8th, you can go on to howdidyoulearntodothat.com/TSC to learn more about the course. It'll be ongoing, so it'll never close. But I will have launches where I'll be offering a discount at that time or promoting it more than other times. So I'm in the middle of that one right now. And the fact that I have the energy to binge a Netflix series with my husband, to do this podcast recording so casually, and I haven't planned anything for this actually. I just wanted to speak authentically to you without planning, is amazing. And it's because I followed Alyssa's plan, and it's a 3-month plan. Everything's broken down to bite-sized chunks so that you're not overwhelmed trying to do everything in 1 week, that you kind of do it slowly over the course of 3 months. And you build it that way. I already have several people signed up to the masterclass, which is incredible. I'm so excited. I have a couple speaking arrangements coming up, which is even better. So it's working out. It's coming together. But what I will say is that in having a podcast, it is a lot of work. You do have to record. You have to find your guests. You have to record. You have to be strategic. You have to do your brand partnerships. You have to find your affiliate marketing opportunities if you want to promote and make money off your podcast. You have to kind of keep up with the industry. You have to do a lot of SEO, keyword searching, to kind of figure out what topics to talk about. And that's really challenging when my concept of my podcast is built around organic conversations. But what I have done is I do a bit of a backwards SEO. So I do the podcast episode, and then I listen to it. And then as I'm listening to it, I listen to the themes coming out. I listen to the questions kind of being asked. I listen to the topics. And then I do my SEO keyword searching from what's already been shared in that episode. And it really helps me narrow down what to share and how to promote the episode so that it gets to more people. So when it comes to the actual podcast and how I structure it, I can get into that a bit more now. So basically, like I said, I just keep it pretty organic. What I do is when I reach out to a guest, so initially I was the one doing the sourcing of my guests, reaching out to them. I created a guide off of Canva that I'm happy to share with anyone that wants to start a podcast. Let me know. I'm happy to share. And I'm also happy to actually coach anyone that wants to start a podcast. I will be offering a coaching service starting in May for anyone that wants to start a podcast. Just for those that want to start a podcast, I can't get into the advanced stuff because I don't know much about that, but I can help you get started. I can help walk you through all the steps you need to do. I do a guide. I reach out with an initial email template that I have. And then once I schedule a call and we have a call, I go through the guide and the structure and answer questions. And then I get to hear from the guests to learn more about them, to see if they're fit. And I've been really fortunate that most of my guests are fit. And then from there, we pick a time to schedule the recording. I batch record, so I record once a month in a week. I don't try to record like every week because that's a lot. I need to get a setup going. So I do it just once a month, a week every month. And then I send them a follow-up email with all the details. I ask for a bio that I can read off the at the podcast, and I ask for a photo that I can use to promote the episode with them. All of that is templated and sent to everybody. And then I started actually having a lot of people reaching out to me saying they want to be on the podcast. And so what I did is I created a Google form that's on my website, and I linked to it on my Instagram, and I let people know that if they're interested to sign up and complete the form. It's amazing because the form actually gets me a lot of the detail that I would need to know if the person's a fit for my podcast. And it's really, really helpful. So I recommend you setting up some sort of form off Google or type form or whatever it is. So yeah, that's how I get my guests, and that's how I kind of structure until we get to the recording. And when we get to the recording, like I said, it's just over Zoom. I ask people to use headphones if they can, or have a microphone on headphones if they can. I usually sit in a closed room, not an open room, because there's too much of an echo in an open room. and it becomes difficult when you're editing and trying to get the episode out. And then I record and I keep it pretty open from there. And then in terms of editing, I don't edit fancy. I don't do anything fancy. I keep it pretty simple because I'm not that great at it. I just take out, you know, sections where we've needed a break or there's been like a lag with the Wi-Fi. I do offer people to take sections of podcasts out that they don't want shared publicly. Then I just stitch it together with the intro and the outro, and then I upload it into YouTube and Buzzsprout, and that's it. And then I create my social media graphics on Canva. I have a template for how I actually write about it. I put everything in my Trello board because I have Trello on my phone, so I can download and copy a lot of the text, and I use that to share in my stories as well. So you kind of do the work once and then you have it just ready for you to copy and paste around different things, which is awesome. That's how that worked. When it comes to actually promoting it, because I do it so far in advance, I actually do ask my guests to share anything that I promote and I tag them in it. The night before, so Sunday night, I send them an email with all the social media graphics. I let them know the links to the blog. And I do create a link, a show notes blog. And then I create another blog that's actually the episode. I do transcribe some of the episodes, but I've been trying not to do that because it's a ton of work, and I do it mostly for SEO, but it's a lot of work, and I'm trying to limit the amount of work that I have to do. So I do that, and it's been working out really well. I have, you know, a great following. I have a lot of people kind of downloading it. I have people on YouTube. I have a lot of people reaching out saying they're super supportive and they love what I'm doing, which I'm so grateful for it, because it really motivates me to keep going. And so I do the podcast. I'm doing the coaching now. I've got the course up. I'm in the middle of the launch, so I'm going to be intensely involved in the course again. I've been doing masterminds with my students. So that takes me to today. So in a year, what have I learned? I've learned how to launch a podcast. I've learned how to structure a podcast. I've learned how not everybody's for my podcast, and that's okay. And I'm not for everybody, and that's okay too. I've learned that your following on Instagram doesn't mean much. I've learned that there's a ton of strategies out there, but you have to just listen to your inner self and what works best for you. There's a ton of coaches. There's a ton of people that want to help you that will kind of slide into your DMs. That's one of the things I dislike the most, is when someone cold messages me, asking me very personal questions, like how long I've been a coach for, am I making 10K a month and things like that. I really don't like that because I don't know you. You haven't built a relationship with me. Don't message me asking such personal questions. And we'll get into that too later on. But essentially, I've learned a lot. I've learned about, you know, really listening to yourself, really making investments in yourself, really building the plan and the strategy that you want. And like I mentioned, a few people that I've connected with and I really enjoy. And what I've realized is that I really want a coach and a mentor to help guide me in my next phase of my business. I've learned a ton about the digital marketing space. You know, I love that there's a lot of empowerment. There's a lot of support. There's a lot of move away from the hustle culture. You know, just being busy to be busy is not okay. You need to be strategic and, you know, really hold your time preciously towards you. You don't need to be forcing things to be done. I felt like I got sucked into the hustle culture and the noise until the end of December. I was trying to do everything but nothing. You know what I mean? Like I was doing all this work, but I wasn't seeing the return on my time and in my investment. And at the end of the year, I realized it was just too much. And I was starting to take time away from my family. I didn't want to be apart with my family. I talked about my postpartum depression that hit in December as well. And that really, I think, was a bit of a moment where I was like, you know, I'm going through something personally. I want to spend more time with my daughter, who honestly, my daughter is 2 years old, but she started recognizing that mom was always working upstairs. And she would always, whenever I'd go upstairs, she'd like grab a sweater or dress, and she goes, okay, bye mom, you're going to go work. And I'd be like, no. And it really made me upset because I was like, wow, she thinks I just work all the time. And also she started saying to me, mommy, get off your phone. Mommy, get off your phone, please. And it was because I was always on my phone, not because I was posing, because I was watching what other people were doing so I could learn more. And I realized my phone I need to treat like a business. So now at 3 o'clock, when I go to pick her up from preschool, I leave my phone. I take my phone with me to the drive, but as soon as we get back home, I come to the office, I leave my phone in the office, and I go downstairs and I don't touch my phone until 7 o'clock when she's asleep. And it's been amazing. It's changed our relationship. You know, we have an amazing relationship, my daughter and I, but for a while there, she preferred her dad over me. She would like really not want to hang out with me. And it really made me upset. And I didn't kind of understand it. And I thought maybe because her dad works out of the house, or I don't know the reasons, and he's more Disney. I'm not really a Disney mom, you know? So I don't know why, but I realized it's because I wasn't giving her dedicated attention and time. That's why. So since I've been doing that, things have changed for us. And it's incredible because she's my why. My time with her, time for myself, time with my family, my husband, everyone is my why. So I don't want to be doing something for myself. I don't want to be creating a business where I am by myself. I'm not spending the time with my family as I want to. My intention, my purpose, my why in life is time. I want more time to do the things that I love. So why am I doing something that's not doing that? So what I did is I took a step back. I stopped wanting to do all the things. And I said, okay, what is it that I really want to do? I love my podcast. It brings me so much joy and empowerment. And I love coaching. And I love building this course. And you know what else I realized? That doing both intensely at the same time is a lot for me on top of my full-time job. And so what I've decided is that by listening to myself and really understanding that, like, I'm coming off of my routines, I'm coming off my non-negotiables, which I teach my students all the time. And I talk about this all the time on the podcast and in my social media, that having non-negotiables, having routines, having systems, having processes is so important. You know, why am I coming off of it? Why am I not making time for self-care? Why am I not making time to go for a walk? Why am I not making time to do things that I love? Right. So what I've decided is that I have episodes until the end of June, maybe end of May. If I don't record separate ones myself. And what I've decided is I think I'm going to end the podcast at the end of June. I'm going to take a bit of a break. But that break is unknown. I don't know how long that break will be. I might take just the summer off. Might want to jump back in September. I might want to take 6 months off and jump in January. I don't know. But I think that this year has taught us a lot, and I need to focus just on one thing. And the time and energy I would put into the podcast, I want to put in myself to learn the digital marketing space, the digital podcast space, to learn more, to build a bit of a strategy, to build a bit of a plan for what's next for me, for the podcast. I've invested in some courses that I'm so excited to be taking over the next couple of months. So yeah. That's what I've learned in a year, is that I am okay not being a part of hustle culture. I'm okay not being busy all the time. I'm okay to stop something that I love and I'm so passionate about because I know that it doesn't serve me. And in this phase of my life right now, where I want to pour my energy is in my students and in everyone that's signing up for the Successful Candidate, in connecting with people that want to sign up for the Successful Candidate, in sharing more stories and inspiration to you on my Instagram and LinkedIn, where I'll be focused on. And I want to join Clubhouse because I know that's a great platform to talk about this stuff. So stay tuned. I will be sharing a couple more episodes with me. A couple more episodes with some guests, amazing guests. So I will let you know if the podcast will be ending in May, end of May, or end of June. And in the meantime, I will always be up on Instagram. I may not show up as often as I do now, but I'm going to see how it goes and see what's next for me. Okay. And I just want to say that I appreciate all of you. I appreciate the love you've shared with me. I appreciate the support you've shown me. I appreciate everything about you. So all right, that is the end of my 1 year episode, and I can't believe it. Like I said, it's been a year. It's been an incredible year. I've learned so much about myself, and I thought I connected with myself before, but now I'm even more connected with myself and my why. Okay, so if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me. And like I said, if you want to support me, support this podcast, I would love if you could review us on Apple Podcasts. It would mean the world. Okay, so stay tuned for what's next. All right, bye.